This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله وحده الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions and his followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, I would like to start my khutbah today with you with a story that took place in 1993-1992 in the land of Asham in Damascus, where one of my teachers and the scholars that I've been with a lot of, especially from their books, his name is Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, rahimahullah ta'ala. He visited a friend of his who is a very well-known, respected scholar in Syria. His name is Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Arnaout, rahimahullah. Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Arnaout is a man who dedicated his life to serve the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hundreds of books and projects that he supervised. So he used to live in a place in Damascus in a small neighborhood, mantaqat called Abu Habl, which is in a very tiny apartment. Barely the car can go inside the alley. So when Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd visited him at his house, and he found him, mashallah, Allah give him, bless him with good number of children. And in this tiny room, has one room out of three bedrooms apartment, you know, a room that he turned to be his library, where he works, his books all over the place on the floor, even in the hallway, and it was so crowded. So Sheikh Bakr bin Abdullah Abu Zaytu from Saudi Arabia felt felt bad for the Sheikh, not a little bit. So he thought about, and he knows Sheikh Abdul Qadir will not just accept any like donations or sadaqah. So he came up next day or 2 days later, he said, Sheikh, you know, it looks like I have some projects in Syria and I have to come to Syria quite often in the future. And I want you to help me. He's helped you with what, Sheikh? He said, can you please look for a place where I can have, I need to stay in when I come? You know, who knows? But I need a nice place to stay in. So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jazallah Khair started looking and searching, and he got him a very nice, spacious house in Hayy al-Maidan, in the Corniche, and it was like in a very nice place with a garden and spacious rooms, four bedrooms and, you know, living room and huge balconies. It's like a house. It is a house. It was a house. And he told the sheikh, it's maybe a little bit quite expensive, but you guys Saudis have a lot of money, alhamdulillah. It was at that time around 8 million liras, which is equal to $154,000. $154,000. But it's still not completely renovated. It needs a little bit of renovations and work, which it cost another $77,000. So the total was $231,000. Finished the work in about 6 months. He invited the sheikh. The sheikh came from Riyadh and visited him there. And he was so proud of his work, telling him. And then the sheikh said, no, we need to add to this furniture. I'm not going to stay like that. I need a good furniture. Take everything out and buy brand new furniture. Then he fully furnished the place. I forgot what was the amount and the total price for that. So you can imagine, so far it's about $230,000, add to it fully furnished, and after everything finished and they work on buying everything, by the time the sheikh leaving, the sheikh said to him, inshallah, when I come back, you know, this house will be used, put into use. Then he handed him the keys. And he said, the Sheikh Abdul Qadir said, okay, I will save the keys for you, but you can keep the copy. He said, no, Sheikh, this house is yours. But I don't want you to tell anyone that this is from me. This house is yours. You picked the house. I'm sure you picked the best. You picked the furniture. You picked the location. This is your house, Sheikh. So, and the Sheikh Bakr left, and he asked him not to share, but Sheikh Abdul Qadir said, I feel obligated. Actually, he's the one who narrated the story. Obligated to share that story of generosity. That incident is not something surprising by knowing what our early Muslim scholars used to be. And the generosity of Muslims through centuries and the people of taqwa, the people of knowledge, is well known. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us that the one who will love for the sake of Allah, give for the sake of Allah, and the one who hates for the sake of Allah, and the one who will hold back for the sake of Allah, is the one who have completed his or her iman, faith. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and that hadith reported by Abi Dawood, and fi Muslim Ahmad, that Allah the Prophet sallallahu said that Allah said, حَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَبَاذَلُونَ فِيَّ. My love will be given to those who love, of those who give for my sake. Who give for my sake. So those who give for the sake of Allah, what that means? It means that they give to please Allah. It means that they give those who Allah loves. It means that they give those who love Allah. It means that they give in the manners which is loved by Allah. They give from the wealth and the money and the that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given them while they are seeking His pleasure and His acceptance subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan gifted her a jewelry that it was worth 300, okay, 1,000 dirham. 300,000. Just, I tried to calculate that with a very poor calculation. That's over $500,000 today. He said, Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, this is because how much we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We honoring his family. Aisha radiallahu anha, she took that amount of money, this large amount of money, and she distributed among all her co-wives. Even though this is like her co-wives, you will think that there is jealousy, but she gave all the money and she shared it. And she gave to all the neighbors. Then she give to everybody. And can you imagine have it, what's equal today to have $1 million? Until she distributed the whole thing in one day. And her servant said, if you just left something for us to buy at least a good dinner today. She said, if you would have reminded me, I would have saved some. Radiallahu anhu arda. أبو سليمان الدراني يقول إني لألقم اللقمة أخذ من إخواني فأجد طعمها في حلقي. When I give my brother food to eat, I can feel and I see him eating, I feel the food in my own throat as if I'm the one who's eating. Hassan al-Basri once was asleep and his students came. And another narration said he was not at home, and he came and he found his students at his, you know, living room. And they found underneath the couch like a basket full of fruits and food. So they pulled that out and they were eating. So when he entered and he saw them eating his food, he was so happy. He said, now you just proven that you are my true friends and students and brothers. That you eating from my food and have no hesitation. He was so happy to see them eating from his money or from his food. Some of the Salaf, rahimahullah, when someone asks him something and he doesn't have anything to give, he will take off something that he's wearing and he will give it to them. He will take off his watch, he will take off his rida, and he give it to them. That for them, that's what it means. That's the money. That's basically, currency is not a common thing. It's mainly merchandise. Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, he used to take people with him in Hajj and Umrah. And he will say, hey, give me all your money. I will be the one who manage the money. I'm good with money. So he take everybody's money, put it in a pouch, put their name on it. Then when they go, what do you want to buy? I want to buy this and I want to buy this. So after they finish and go to the Medina, after Hajj or Umrah, and he said to them, okay, now gifts. They said, but do we have any money left? He said, your pouch still have a little bit. You can buy something for your family. So can I buy this? Yes, you still have money for it. Let me check. Yeah, you can. And everybody buy gift. And they go back all the way. When they go back to Tarsus, which is north of Iran today, okay, he will invite them. Said, there is a little bit of money left, and I'm making a big walima, a big feast. He invites all the group back. Then he give them back their money. 100%. Nothing missing from it. He doesn't do that once. He does this every year he goes to Hajj. That's Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah. He said in his trip, always he passed by a city, and he had this young man, he always helped him. He said, I didn't see him in this trip, and I left quickly. Anybody knows what happened to him? Anybody from that city? Somebody said, yes, he was arrested because he's in debt and he didn't pay his debt. So in his way back, he stopped intentionally just to check on that young man, and he went and he paid that person's debt. Young man, he sees him every occasionally, you know, every year or 2 years whenever he goes to Hajj. And his debt was 10,000 dirham, which is equal to today, according to my poor calculation, $17,000. $17,400. It's, I can go on and on giving you hundreds of examples of how generous the scholars, rahimahullah, and the early scholars were. But what I want to point out about their manner of giving, two main points. Number one, why they give. What motivates them, and what is the cause that they were looking for when they give? Number one, they look for the poor. The people who are in need, and they will make sure that they give them. Abdullah ibn Amr bought a house, and this house belonged to Khalid ibn Uqba. And he spent in it 90,000 dirham. And he heard that the family of Uqba were crying. When he said, why they are crying? Why are the women and the children crying? They said, because this is the only thing we have in life. And it was taken away from us. And it was put an auction because he was in debt. So when he heard that the family crying because they lost the only thing that they have in life, he told his servant, the one who manages money, he said, go to the family, give them the house, and he gave them over the house equal amount of money to the house. You can pay your debt and you keep your house. So you didn't need to worry about it. In another word, like he said, keep the money that I spent in the house, which is the 90,000, and I give you the house back. So use the money to pay your debt and you can stay in your home. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd is another story. He heard that the judge of Egypt, Ibn Lahia, he basically, his house burned. His house burned. So what did Layth ibn Sa'd did, the great scholars of Egypt, rahimahullah, فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِ بِأَلْفِ دِينَارِ. He sent him 1,000 pieces of dinar. Dinar is a piece of gold. That's equal to $213,000 today. If you do a conversion. Layth ibn Sa'd, when he, yani, it's interesting how those scholars are so generous. When another reason that they give people who need help in Hajj and Umrah. Anybody need help, they will sponsor them. Another reason that they give, which is interesting, they used to support student of knowledge, du'at, scholars. And they give them so much so they can dedicate their life fully for da'wah, fully for teaching, fully for seeking knowledge, fully for teaching the knowledge. We all heard about Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. And when you talk about Abu Hanifa, the first name comes to your mind, his famous students, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani. Abu Yusuf said, كنت أطلب الحديث والفقه وأنا مقل رث الحال. I used to study knowledge, study fiqh and hadith, and I don't have much. Even when you look at me, I don't have good clothes, I don't have good life. My father came one day to me while I'm in the class, and he took me away. And he said, don't hang around Abu Hanifa. إِنَّ هَذَا يَأْكُلُ الْخُبْزَ مَشْوِيَّ. Don't hang around Abu Hanifa. You're not like him. Abu Hanifa is a man who eats chicken barbecue for lunch, you know, eat whatever he wish, his naan, and like, you know, he's like a rich man. Me and you, we have no money. You come from our family is not in any way close to Abu Hanifa. So Abu Hanifa missed Abu Yusuf. He said, where are you? He said, my father told me I have to work to help so I can provide for the house. Then he said, okay. He took from him a pouch full of gold, pieces of gold, and he gave it to him. And he said, give this to your father and stay and continue learning. And when it's finished, come and I will give you another one. Abu Yusuf said he spent on me 20 years. It was not one-time event. It was not one Ramadan fundraising. For the next 20 years of my life, he supported me until Abu Yusuf became Qadi Qudat al-Islam, the chief judge of the Muslim world, later on in his life. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he used to support the students who travel with him to collect the hadith. 20, 30 of them, he will give them, he will support them. And he will not hold back any money from them. Sometimes, you know, one of the amazing incidents when Al-Imam Al-Layth ibn Sa'd visited Al-Madinah. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd is an extremely rich man. He has so much land, so much farms, real estates. When he visited Medina, he knows Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, yani in the lower income, maybe middle class, lower middle class. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, have nothing much to offer. So he sent the Layth ibn Sa'd a plate filled with what? With grapes. Layth ibn Sa'd returned the plate filled with gold. 1,000 pieces of gold. That's over $200,000. He said, Ya Malik, use it. You have family. They used to give friends. They used to give those who are related to them or friends of their family like Abdullah ibn Umar did. What's so special about their giving? And I just want to end my khutbah with, what's so special about the giving of the Salaf, the giving of the early generations? They are so sincere when they give. They do it only for the sake of Allah. Umar ibn Adil said, مَا أَعْطَيْتُ أَحَدًا إِلَّا وَأَنَا أَسْتَقِلُّهُ. Umar ibn Adil said, I never give someone money or donate it to any cause while I feel I'm doing a favor. Oh my God, I'm doing too much. Never. كان عمران بن موسى يأتي طعم الجعفري بالألف دينار والألفي دينار ويقول اقسمها على إخوانك ولا تخبر أحدا أنها مني. He will bring عمران بن موسى 1,000 pieces of gold, 2,000 pieces of gold. That's almost 426,000 dollars. And he said, distribute it among the students and friends and people in your neighborhood, but don't tell anyone it's from me. يقول منصور بن عمار, I visited once Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, and he took a moment with nobody paying attention, and he grabbed a pouch filled with money, and he put it in my hand without anybody, I didn't even realize it. And he said, Ya Mansur, Ya Abu Sirri, I know you travel from a distance, use it. Make a use, good use of it. But please don't tell my son that I do that. Because his son used to say, Father, you spend too much. One of the things about the Salaf, rahimahumullah, when they give so much. They don't give so little. When they give, like Umar قال, قال كان عمر إذا أعطى أغنى. When Umar gives, he makes the person rich, so that person never asks again. You know, this is, I'm amazed by how the scholars, rahimahumullah, in that time, when you look at the big picture, not many of them, few of them were rich, but all of them never needed the favor of people, because they were respected, they were honored by the generous men and women of their time. ولذلك كان الوجهاء في الدين لا يمدون أيديهم إلى وجهاء الدنيا. The honorable religious people never ask the honorable rich famous businessmen in their time. They never needed to ask them for favor. Why? Because their society take good care of them. Finally. الربيع بن سليمان, when he came to Imam al-Shafi'i رحمه الله in the night of Eid, he said, Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Aba Abdullah, I just got a baby. My wife delivered a baby. So Shafi'i wanna gifted him something, and he couldn't find anything in his, you know, in his pocket. And he was just in the masjid, surprised him. Then Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah looked. He couldn't only found anything except a pouch. Has 30 dinar. 30 dinar is like what? $6,000. $6,300. He gave it to him, said, please forgive me. That's the only thing I have. Otherwise, I would love to give you more. An amazing thing about them also, about the manners of their giving. They give while they need. You find many of the Salaf in need, yet they give. Masruq rahimahullah, he was in debt. And his best friend Khaythama was also in debt. And sometimes they talk to each other about each other's debt and how inshallah they plan to pay it off. So one day, Masruq got a good amount of money. And he said, that money can pay my brother's debt. Then he went and he paid Khaythama's debt. And min qadarillah, that Khaythama got a money around the same time. It's like somebody knows of them and he gave them both money. So Khaythama said, I will start by paying my brother's Masruq's debt first. And he went and he paid Masruq's debt. Then when they meet each other, they said, by the way, I found my debt paid. He said, me too. And later on they found out that they paid each other's debt without realizing, without knowing. Many of the stories
where people will be giving the money. And he will say, no, I know my neighbor who is in need more than me, give it to him. No, this person needs more than me. And it will circle in the neighborhood, and the sadaqah comes back to the first one. Because everybody in the neighborhood said, I think my neighbor needs it more than me. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. It's not about how much that they have. It's about how much they care. How much they believed in the sadaqah. That's something that the manners of their giving is just an amazing. رحمهم الله تعالى. That's why Sufyan al-Thawri, when he sees someone coming, needs help, he said, come. You're doing me a favor by taking my sadaqah. Because I'm fixing somebody's dunya, and this sadaqah will fix my akhirah, will elevate my level in the akhirah. Ibn Umar said, al-faqir should have the upper hand. Not just the rich. That humility, sense of humility, is something amazing about them. Something that is well needed in our society today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who give for His sake. أقول ما سمعتم وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. من أعجب ما تقرأ في القرآن, one of the amazing verses in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ولا على الذين إذا ما أتوك لتحملهم قلت لا أجد ما أحملكم عليه تولوا وأعينهم تفيض من الدمع حزنا. حزنا على إيش؟ حزنا على ماذا؟ ألا يجدوا ما ينفقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us in Surah At-Tawbah that as for those who will come to you asking you if they can go with you to the battlefield with you in the journey, and the Prophet ﷺ would say, I can find nothing for you to ride upon. They turned back while their eyes overflowed with tears, and they are in a great deal of grief. Al-Quran said why they are in tears and grief. I'm amazed, like, not because they're not gonna fight, not because they're gonna get high ranks by, you know, making score, I did attend this, I'll be company with the pro. No. Because they could not find something to spend for the sake of Allah. That's why they are in tears. Ihna, we happy if I miss fundraising. We happy if I, you know, if I don't need to give. Some of us and some not. One of us will pass and say, I wish I had money to spend like this. I wish I wanted to sponsor this, to do that. I want to all say to everyone, no matter what they give, and that's one of the things also about their manners of giving. Then it's never what is about how much is too much or too little. It's about the attitude that it is. But this khutbah is a wake-up call for us. That's, you understand the manner of those people and the manner of their giving and the nature of their giving. That's why they were a role model. They were the best generations. And we just tried to follow their footsteps. I want to end with this final verse I want to recite for you. And final message that I have, which is related to everyone since the time of the Prophet ﷺ until today, who gave, and today who are giving. Remember what Allah said, وَالْمَوْتَى يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهِ. The dead will be resurrected. And when they are resurrected, they will see what they have offered. They will see the result of their giving. Those who have made other people's life easy, Allah will make their life next life easy. Those who help people, Allah will help them when they are resurrected. Those who brought relief to people, Allah will bring relief to them. Those who have given and were caused so much good to happen, they will see in the record of deeds how much hasanat that they have accumulated through their donation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always make us among the giving ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise our level in Jannatul Na'im. Make always the money in our hand, not in our heart. This khutbah is not related to fundraising. And it is sad that only we remind each other about sadaqah when it comes about a specific, nothing wrong with that. But this khutbah is about the concept itself. It's not about the rich among us, it's about every one of us. Not about the elder, the working men and women, but about everyone, how old, regardless how young you are or how old you are, regardless how what is your income is. So I wish nobody misunderstand the purpose of this khutbah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa qumu li salati yarhamkumullah.